In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23, it says, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, Why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" The Jews have a vital question for Jesus. They are asking, "By what authority do you do these things?" That's their question there in verse 23. Who gave you this authority? What is the origin of these things? Where do they come from? What gives you the right to teach it? Who is in charge of what you're doing? Who are you speaking for? Are you speaking for God or are you speaking for yourself? Now Jesus replies by asking a question to them. Look in verse 25. He says, "The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" Now that reveals an incredibly important point about this question of authority. That authority comes from one of two places. It either comes from heaven or from men. Jesus was either speaking for himself or for God. And when we do something or teach something, we're either doing or teaching something that comes from God, or we're doing and teaching something that comes from us or from other men. And so that's a vitally important question to ask. Now, Jesus asked them this question about John, and they don't answer. It reveals they weren't really interested in in examining themselves as much as in trapping him. But I believe this question needs to be asked of every practice and every teaching done in the name of the Lord. Is this practice from heaven, or is it from men? What right do we have to teach it? Who gives us this authority? The word that the Jews use in verse 23 is the word authority. And so I want us to ask this question of authority for a few minutes this morning. And what we'll see as we examine this question of authority, of where we get what we teach and what we practice, is one of the most important questions we could ever ask. And we'll look at many of our religious friends and neighbors to see where the differences lie in our teachings and practices. And I want to stress to you, I'm not giving away the end of my sermon, but it all goes back to this question of authority. Let's start with some simple Bible principles about authority. And the first one is, we need authority. Now that sounds very simple, but it's a vital point. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we need authority if we're going to do or teach something. If we want to be right with God, we need to know He approves of what we're doing or teaching in His name. Matthew chapter 7, and let's read in verse 21. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" We don't want to be like these people. We don't want to come before the Lord on the day of judgment and Him say, "I never knew you. You practice lawlessness." These were people who thought they were right, but in reality they were wrong. And the reason they were wrong was because they did not do the will of the Father. He says in verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Lawlessness is acting without law, going beyond the law, doing things without authority. These people did things in the name of Jesus. There, verse 22, "We did cast out demons in your name, did many wonders in your name." They did them in the name of Jesus without Jesus' law behind them. They did it without it being the will of the Father. And so Jesus says, it's a cold, hard day on judgment day, even though these people thought they were right, because they didn't have my approval, my authority. Now, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who, when we begin to talk about a question of authority, they sort of scoff at that. They think it's ridiculous that we're going to actually try to follow the Bible in every point. We're going to really search it to figure out what God wants. The Bible's just a roadmap. It's just a guidebook. Let me warn you. Authority is so important that Jesus said it will determine whether we go to heaven or hell. That if we don't do what God says, or if we do something that's not what God says, then we stand wrong in the day of judgment. I don't believe it can get more important than that. This is not some sort of preacher squabble. It's not about trying to find differences between us and other people. This is a very serious question because we need authority to know that we're right. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. I hope that you'll be ready to do some turning with me. I can't preach on authority very well without giving you the authoritative word of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let me give you some different translations that will help you get the sense of that word, as the oracles of God. As if God is speaking through him. As a prophet of God, let him speak as God's utterance. If anyone speaks, Peter says, he had better be speaking for God. Not speaking for himself, not saying what he thinks or what other people have told him to say. If anyone speaks, talking about in a religious context, let him speak as the oracles of God. We need authority for what we teach and practice. We need to know God says this and wants this. This is not authority to say whatever I want and then call it God's will. No one has ever had that authority. This is authority to say what God says. We speak for Him. We speak with His authority. Let's go to 2 John and verse 9. 2 John. Just laying a foundation here that we need authority. 2 John and verse 9. Only one chapter in 2 John, so let's look at the ninth verse. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Whoever transgresses, or your version might say, whoever goes beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. We are following something else. We're abiding in something else. We don't have God. But if we are abiding in the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, he says we have both the Father and the Son. So there's a key difference, isn't there? What do we abide in? What does our teaching convey? Is it Christ's teaching or not? We could sum it up this way in Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus does not mean I do whatever I want and then stamp Jesus' name on it as if that somehow makes it right. It's doing what He said as He has authorized it in His word. And that leads us to the second point, which is that authority comes from Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. If we want authority to be from heaven and not from men, it has to come from Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. We'll read the last three verses of this book. Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." First of all, Jesus says in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, Jesus says, I have. And then, because authority comes from Jesus, or that proves that authority has to come from Jesus. He has all authority. But then he sends out, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So now the apostles are sent out. And they're sent out to teach what he taught, because authority comes from Jesus. And they can say, I know that Jesus wants this because it's what he commanded me. And Jesus says, you go out and teach, because authority came from Jesus, and it went now to the apostles. So they went out and taught in the name of Jesus the things Jesus had commanded them. To be disciples of Jesus, we have to follow the commands of Jesus. And the way we do that today is by following both the direct things we know Jesus said and the things Jesus' apostles teach us. And so the apostles, being sent out with this authority, repeatedly declare to us that they are speaking for God, speaking for Jesus. This is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. We don't have any right to say that everything Jacob says, that's the word of God. We have no right, no authority to make a statement like that. But Paul did, because Paul, as an apostle of Christ, spoke for Christ. In Galatians 1 and verse 11 and 12, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul says, this is not from man, it's from heaven. Remember, those are the only two places it can come from. So when Paul spoke, Paul preached, Paul was speaking for God. He had the authority from Jesus, the stamp of approval that said, this is my teaching. And so the third point I want to make is that Jesus' authority is now found in the Bible. So today we find the authority we need, all that we need to know to be right with God, in the pages of our Bibles. This book is our authority today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. What we see as we go along in the Bible story is that these apostles being sent out by Jesus not only preached, but they wrote down the words God inspired them to say. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul had the ability to say, what I have written down to you, this letter I'm sending, is the commandment of the Lord Jesus. I don't have the right to say that unless I'm quoting from Paul. I don't have a right to say the things Jacob writes are the commandments of the Lord. And if anybody's going to claim to be anything, prophet or spiritual, they'd better acknowledge my words are Jesus' words. That's not true. Paul could say that because Paul had authority from Jesus. And when Paul wrote down what Jesus inspired him to say, it was collected in what we call the Bible. So when we seek authority, we have to seek it among the commandments of God, the expectations of God as recorded in this book. The writings of the life of Jesus, the writings of his apostles, the teachings that we find there, that's where we get our authority. Jesus doesn't speak directly today. We can't say, Jesus, do you want this? And Jesus somehow speaks in our ear and says, yes, that's what I want. This is the way he speaks to us today. This is the way he authorizes things today. This is the way we know we're serving him today. We follow his word. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3 and verse 3, again, Paul is writing here. Ephesians 3 and verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. he says, I have written this down so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, my knowledge given to me by the Lord, given to me like we just read, by direct revelation. He says, I've written it down so that you can know what I know. I've written it down so that you can know what God expects of you. What Jesus has revealed to me, that authority, that information, is now found in my writing, Paul said. Now that's good news, because it means God didn't leave us grasping in the dark as to what He wants from us. We don't have to guess. We don't just kind of have to have a hunch and just wing it. We can say, this is what God wants. And brethren, when we do something or we teach something, there shouldn't be any doubt. We shouldn't say, I think this is what God wants. I hope this is what God wants. We should say, I know this is what God wants because He told me to do it in this book. Not only that, the New Testament encourages us to cling to the revealed Word and not to go after anything different. Let's look in the book of Jude. The book of Jude also has just one chapter, so we'll read the third verse. Jude verse 3. It says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, we all have different versions. I would like to know if anyone has a version that says, contend earnestly for the faith which will continue to be delivered to the saints. I don't think anybody's version says that. Or a version that says, the faith which someday will be delivered to the saints. That's not what it says, is it? Look again at the end of verse 3. He said, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith has been delivered. It is complete, and we now have it. So now our goal is not to look for something new. It's to fight for what we have. Contend earnestly for the faith, he says. So Jesus' authority is found in the Bible. It's not found in some sort of future revelation or some continual revelation. It has been delivered, Jude says. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Appreciate you going with me to lay this foundation. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says this, As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything that we need He has given, and that blessing, all things, is through the knowledge of Him, through the Word that was revealed and confirmed and delivered to us. That Word is our authority. He has given to us all things, Peter says, that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need, everything, has been given to us. Now, some say that Peter says nothing about the Bible here, and I understand that. But Peter does speak about knowledge. And knowledge only comes from the Holy Spirit revealed Word. Knowledge only comes directly from God. The only thing we're told to listen to for our authority in the Bible is the Word itself. You won't see any other indication that says, well, your authority needs to be Jesus and His apostles and their Word, but it also needs to be some other group of men. Or it also needs to be some other book. Or it also needs to be some other revelation I'm going to give at a later date. What we're told, the sense we get from reading this Word, is that we have all we need in the Bible. Jesus' authority is now found in this book. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. We'll begin to turn this towards some practical things here. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, I marvel, Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Any other authority other than this word, which has clearly been established to be the word of God, it has to pass this test. Is it what the apostles preached, or is it different? And if our command is, if this is different in the very least thing, we reject it. Let him be accursed. If anyone preaches any other gospel, and he repeats it twice to make sure we get the point, to be sure we realize our goal is not to just accept everything that comes along, but to test it and see if it is in fitting with the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. Let me tell you what that means. If some person or church or council claims the authority to speak for God, their words must be in line with Bible teaching, or they are wrong and accursed of God. If someone claims to have authority from God, they must prove it. That means they have to prove that their words are God's word. And if they don't match up with the gospel that the apostles preached, they are wrong and accursed of God. So John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So he says, don't just believe everything. Test the spirits. Make sure they are what God says. So, we need authority. Authority comes from Jesus, and Jesus' authority is now found in the Bible. The bottom line, then, in authority, is that the question of from heaven or from men is really this simple. Is it biblical or is it not biblical? If it's biblical, it's from heaven. If it's not biblical, it's not from heaven. Let's talk about applying the authority question. This is a serious and a very practical problem. There are hundreds of different denominations with different practices and different teachings. Why do we have so many? It's because of authority. Who we listen to in religion divides almost all people who claim they follow Jesus. So I want us to examine several different areas of modern religion and look at how the authority question has led to differences. And I want you to know, I don't have any ill will toward the people, the groups I'm going to talk about, but I want you to know who I'm talking about. And I want the people who are members of these groups to know who I'm talking about, so that there's no question as to what exactly I'm saying. I have no ill will toward anyone in these groups. I believe almost everyone in these groups are sincere. But that does not mean that they are right. First of all, let's talk about applying the authority question to the Catholic Church. For the Catholic Church, authority is the New Testament and church tradition or church teaching. Since Catholics believe that the Catholic Church speaks for God, then the practices and teachings of the Catholic Church are their authority along with the Bible. So when we look at a practice that is uniquely Catholic, for example, we look at the practice of confessing sin to a priest, and we say, where did that come from and why does no one else do it? The answer is, it doesn't come from the New Testament. We won't find that idea in the New Testament, confessing sin to a priest. But it's naturally explained when you look at church tradition and church leaders. It's what they have taught, and since they claim to speak for God, that's what Catholics now follow. Since they are an authority that Catholics listen to, that explains where their practices come from. And we could say the same thing about the structure of the Catholic Church, the same thing about purgatory and any number of other issues that go along with Catholic teaching. Here is the point I'm trying to make. We can discuss these issues, and we should. We should talk about the differences in teaching with the Catholic Church that we have. But the problem is not with Scripture. The problem is with this question of authority. And until we convince Catholics that the Word of God alone is God's authority for us today, that we can only follow the Bible, until we convince Catholics of that, it's really not going to matter what other arguments we make. Because the problem doesn't rest just in the arguments. The problem goes back to authority. They accept the Bible and the Catholic Church, and we have to say the Bible alone is the authority. The question of importance then is not just whether these practices are authorized, but the question really is whether Peter was the first pope and passed on authority to the Catholic Church to decide matters of doctrine, matters of right and wrong. Let me say briefly, Peter never said anything about having all authority the way Jesus did. Peter was wrong several times in his life, even after he became an apostle. Peter refused worship, and Peter wrote late in his life, and he was only a fellow elder, he said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. Add to that the fact that Catholic doctrines change frequently. For example, last year, the Pope Benedict made a statement that unbaptized infants won't go to limbo, which had been the Catholic position for centuries. Catholic doctrine that just changes. And then add the fact that many of the teachings of the Catholic Church directly contradict the New Testament, and it seems to me that that authority of the Catholic Church fails the test. But most of all, look again at verse 8 of Galatians 1. You have it open here. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. We've already established Jesus' authority is found in the Bible alone, and that any other authority must match up with it. And here Paul says that anyone, be it an apostle or an angel of God, who preaches something different from what he preached, let him be accursed. I'm not trying to disparage Catholics. I'm really not. But we disagree about who we should listen to in religion. Let's talk about Protestant churches. Protestant churches began as attempts to reform the Catholic Church. Generally, they were started by certain men, and because of that, they reflect the peculiar doctrines and respect the peculiar doctrines of those men who founded these churches. Now, this is a little different from Catholicism because most Protestant churches teach that we should listen to Scripture alone as their authority, and that's right. But in practice, Protestant churches follow after their founders. For example, Lutherans, and I have no ill will toward Lutherans, but Lutherans recognize Luther's peculiar teachings along with Christ. The Book of Concord, the Lutheran Catechism, are recognized as authorities by a Lutheran. And so when you ask, well, where do the Lutherans get what they do? Why are they different? The answer is, they follow Luther and what Luther taught, and that makes them different from one who would just follow the Bible. Calvinists, of which Presbyterians are the largest group, hold Calvin's teachings as definitive, and they also follow the Westminster Confession. Methodists hold to the peculiar views of John Wesley. Baptists teach according to Baptist and typical evangelical tradition. And if it is contradicted, for example, if a practice like having communion just kind of whenever, if that's questioned, they're going to side with Baptist teaching and Baptist tradition, or else they're not going to be a Baptist anymore. They're going to be something else, you see, because Baptists follow Baptist tradition. So the point is this. The groups are not different because they all follow the Bible. If they all follow the Bible, they'd be the same. The groups are different because they follow the Bible and perhaps Wesley's teaching, or the Bible and Luther's teaching, or the Bible and Calvin's teaching, or the Bible and their tradition. And those ands are what separates them from one another and from us. I don't have any ill will toward any of these groups. I have to keep saying that because it's true. I really don't. I believe many of them are very sincere in trying to serve God. But they derive their authority from a different place than the Bible. Galatians 1 and verse 8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If an apostle or an angel or Martin Luther or Calvin or John Wesley or a long line of tradition, if they preach any other gospel, we must reject it. We just don't have any choice. If it's not what God says, we can't follow it and expect to be right with God. Even if we say we listen to the Bible alone, do we really have authority for all that we do from the Scripture? That's the question we have to answer. I want to talk about churches I'll call New Revelation churches. Many churches began, of course, you know, I'm not going to have time to talk about all denominations and their origins. That's not my goal. But many churches began as a result of what was claimed to be a new revelation to a certain person. For example, the Mormons, or the Church of Latter-day Saints, began as Joseph Smith claimed an angel spoke to him and gave him new revelation and allowed him to translate the Book of Mormon. And most Mormons recognize also a book called the Doctrine and Covenants and a book called the Pearl of Great Price. So, just picture that. Here we've established that the Bible says Jesus' authority is in the Bible alone. But a Mormon will follow the Bible and the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. Is it any wonder that Mormons have a lot of different practices and teachings from New Testament Christians? They follow four different books, three different books from the Bible. So you can see the difference. The Jehovah's Witnesses began as a man named Charles Russell claimed that God revealed to him that Jesus would return in 1873, and then in 1874, and then in 1914. And he founded the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, which is still around. And he spread his doctrines through that. And even though he is dead, that society, that tract society, has continued. And so if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness and you look on the back of anything they have, it will say Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Because a Jehovah's Witness follows the Bible and the Watchtower. And that recalls, or that causes, the difference in teaching and practice. Pentecostalism in America has its roots in a revival in Los Angeles in 1906. And it was claimed that speaking in tongues spread from there throughout the whole country. God was acting in a new way, in an outburst of tongues and outbursts of zeal. Adventists, Christian Scientists, believe in direct revelations that came to certain people. And they follow those people and their teachings because they believe God spoke to them. That accounts for peculiar teachings. That accounts for differences. I follow this one. I follow this one. I believe that Mary Baker Eddy was inspired by God. I believe that someone else was inspired by God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Remember that even if an angel or an apostle preaches something, it is not right if it is different from what God spoke in His Word. So does that sound like the language of a new revelation? When God says, don't listen to anybody but what you've already heard, does that sound like, and in about 2,000 years I'm going to inspire someone else? I'm going to tell him some things that are completely different from what I've said before. I'm going to give him a new revelation and a new outburst of new things. Does that sound like what Paul says in Galatians 1 and verse 8? Or back in Jude 3 when he said, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Does that sound like once for all and then maybe later and other times too? Once for all, but then we've got three more books that need to come along. Do you see the difference? God says, cling to my word. And modern religion says, pick which one you want. So are new revelations from heaven, or are they from men? I don't mean to say that they couldn't be from heaven. That's not my point. God could make a new revelation if He wished to. The point is, if God said He wasn't going to do that, then we're foolish to think He's going to go against what He said. God said, you need to cling to my word and don't listen to anyone who brings anything different. So if we do, we have left His authority in religion. I hope you see the point. It's a question of authority. It's a question of who do we listen to? Who tells us what's right and wrong? What is the origin of our practice and our beliefs? Is it God or is it man? And as you can see, the ideas of men create barriers. They form new groups. If we're choosing what we like best, I might choose Catholicism and you might choose Lutheranism and someone else might choose Pentecostalism. But if we want to follow Jesus, we don't get a choice. We just follow Jesus. We do what He says. We don't choose between a bunch of different options, a menu of ways to follow Jesus. We do what He said, and nothing else will count. So, I want to say one more thing. I have a question for us. There is a danger here for us, because I believe we've talked about some things that are probably fairly familiar to us. I hope they've been something that's helped you to see something maybe new in all of this that will challenge you to think more deeply about. But there's a danger for us that we'll ask this question the way the Jews did. Do you remember what the Jews said? They said to Jesus, "By what authority do you do this?" They weren't interested in authority, really. They were interested in trapping Jesus. And when Jesus turned the question around on them and said, "What about the baptism of John?" they weren't able to answer, because it showed they weren't interested in authority at all. In other words, there's a danger that we'll be like them, and that we'll ask this question about everybody else and not ourselves. So I want to ask the question, are we Campbellites? You might ask, what's a Campbellite? I had to ask that the first time I heard the word. Some people say that Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ. Now that is a biblically bankrupt statement. Church of Christ began when Christ established it. But they believe and teach and say that Alexander Campbell began what we would call the modern movement of Churches of Christ, or what they would call that. So, are we just following the teachings of this man, Alexander Campbell? Now, I'll tell you, on a personal note, I didn't know the name Alexander Campbell until I was a teenager, even though I've spent most of my life in local Churches of Christ. Alexander Campbell was a good man and a bold man, and I admire the courage that he had, but I can say the exact same thing about Martin Luther. He was a good man and a bold man, and I admire his courage, but I'm certainly no Lutheran. I don't endorse the life of Alexander Campbell. I don't know much about what he taught, and I know that he had some errors on the missionary society late in his life. The point I'm trying to make here is, I don't have any problem discussing Alexander Campbell, but it has nothing to do with what I do as a Christian. Alexander Campbell is neither here nor there, and we can be Christians just fine without ever hearing the name Alexander Campbell. In fact, I could quote Campbell from this pulpit all day long, and I might get fired. But when I preach the Bible, that's what you want to hear. And I think that speaks well of you, because it shows we're not really interested in Alexander Campbell. So are we Campbellites? Let me say it this way. We'd better not be. We better not be loyal to the name Church of Christ, as if that's all that's required, just to have that name out there to make a church really belong to Christ. It concerns me that some Christians know what they do, but they don't know why they do it. For example, we haven't worshiped God with any instruments this morning. Do you know why that is? Other people use instruments. Do you know why we don't? The answer is not, that's what we do. That sounds like we're following what we do rather than following God. If someone else were to sit next to you through a worship service, could you lean over to them and say, here's what we're about to do, and here's why? Could you point to the passage and say, here's why we're about to take the Lord's Supper today? Here's why we took it last week, and we'll take it next week too. Here's why we're going to sing, and here's why we don't do that with instruments. Here's why he's getting up to preach. Here's why he's using the Bible. Could you do that? Could you say, here's why this church is independent of other churches? That's tough, isn't it? We know we do it. We know it's right. Do we know why? Are we following just what we've always heard and always expected? Are we really following God? I'm concerned that many New Testament Christians are becoming more like the world in that way. The preacher may know why we do what we do, but most Christians do not. And Christians in most churches are not concerned about authority at all. And if someone were to come to them and ask them, by what authority do you do this? They would have no clue what to say. If we're just following what men say, if we're just following the tradition of some church, does it really matter which men or which church? Do you understand what I'm saying? If we're just following a church, we might as well follow any church, because any church is good as another if it's not following God. But if we're going to follow God, we need to know why we're doing what we're doing, where the authority comes from, and we need to be sure that we're following Christ, not Campbell or some other man. So, are we Campbellites? We better not be. Because if we are, we're going to end up just like those people in Matthew 7 on the day of judgment. The ones who came and they thought they were right. And they said, "We've done so much in your name." He'll say, "I'll never need you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." My prayer is that in this local church and to everyone in whom we come contact with, we'll do and teach without fear. And we'll correct those things that are wrong so that we'll be right with the Bible. And when others ask, "By what authority do you do those things?" we need to be ready to answer with confidence, "By this authority, let me show you." Not with uncertainty, not with opinion, but with Scripture. Hope you see, authority is vitally important, just as it was for Jesus. So I need to ask, are you doing the will of God today? Not are you doing what you think is right. Not are you doing what other people have told you is good. Are you doing what God says? Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Perhaps you've been baptized, but you never believed. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Perhaps you believe, but you've never been baptized. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you need to come to the Lord now? Do you need to give your life to Him? We invite you, as you stand and sing, to encourage you.